Hey folks, and welcome to this week's podcast. I have one of my all-time favorite bands on this week, Teenage Fan Club from Glasgow, Scotland. Just been a huge fan of this band for a long time. They were driving straight from Washington, D.C. They left at 7 a.m. and they got caught in a giant car crash traffic jam. So they were a little bit late. I was hoping to go for a full hour with them, but I was pleased that we got this. I think it's about 35 minutes. They play four songs. We chat a bit. I was really enjoying it. I could have gone on for an hour with this, but perhaps they will come back sometime. Super nice guys, great band. Yeah, one of my favorites. TeenageFanClub.com. They're on tour going all the way from New York to Los Angeles, so check their website to see if they are coming near you. And that's really all I have to say. I will get out of the way and let's start this, let the podcast begin. It's me and Teenage Fan Club. All right, I think we're tuned up. I think we're ready to go. I think we definitely played the single version of that song there. I got it right. Teenage Fan Club, welcome. Good morning. Hello.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
See ya. Is it still morning?
I think it is. Glenn, I need a little more if you got it.
Hello.
Just more on the vocal output.
Okay.
There it is. Tonight at White Eagle Hall, Jersey City, just blocks from here. Tomorrow at the Music Hall of Williamsburg. And huge on tour. I know you just got here. I got Norman, I got Raymond, I got Euro, I got Francis. I guess Dave is taking a nap?
Well, it's actually Dave is off with Bill and Sebastian on this trip.
So oh, really?
Stephen Black is playing with Sweet Babu.
Playing bass. Can you give me more on
done,
that?
Done that before.
Just give them way more? There,
I'm as far as I can.
Okay, now I'm as far as I can go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, so Stephen Black, who's played with us before.
He's playing bass.
So he switches out with Dave.
Yeah, Dave is a busy guy.
He's always up to something, yeah.
Yeah. So I figure it's about 35 years for you guys now.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. And I spent a lot of this week listening to the full catalog of Teenage Fan Club music, including new record Nothing Lasts Forever, recorded in Rockfield in Wales, mostly, right?
Yeah.
I believe also Raymond's...
Yeah, in my place, yeah.
Your place.
Yeah, the Fairy Dust.
Yeah. What's it? I mean, do you go up to Wales just to, like, be... distractionless?
It's sort of. We've been there before. It's a nice place. But we do. Yeah, every time we make a record, we like to go somewhere that's not home. For a couple of reasons. One, at home, there are too many distractions and you end up going to the pub every night and whatever.
In Rockfield, they're not pub experts?
Well, there are, but yeah, it's
sort of, so I was saying, it's good to go into a real studio where that kind of work is all that usually happens. You know?
Yeah. I know you've gone to Germany, you've gone to Chicago. Yeah.
So really that, just a bit of variation, something different, and hopefully it inspires us to do something a little different too.
Interesting. You're in New York City now. February 15th, 1992, you guys were on Saturday Night Live with Jason Priestley as the host.
That's right, I
watched it. The hair is amazing.
That's serious hair. It was,
going on. What is the experience like being on Saturday Night Live? What is it like? Are you treated nicely?
Well, you are. But here's the thing. We weren't really aware of how big the show was, not being from here. So we knew it was something. We sort of heard of it, but we kind of just showed up and did our thing. And people were saying, oh, it's amazing you're doing Saturday Night Live. And we were like,
Everyone else around us and people from the label were all kind of freaked out about it. And we were like, oh, it's just a TV show.
We had no idea what it was. But it was fun. And it was, you know, and yeah, the people there were really nice. And
had you watched Beverly Hills 90210 at that time?
I didn't watch it, but I was aware of the dude.
That guy was.
Yeah, I knew who he was, yeah.
Yeah. How interesting. Can we start off by playing one song?
Sure.
What are you going to hear?
Well, I think we're going to play a song from the first song on a new album. The album's Nothing Lasts Forever, and the song's called Tired of Being Alone.
Okay, Teenage Fan Club here.
There we go.
Feelings now recover. fire. Pathways get overgrown when you're tired of being alone. A peaceful life in silence. Golden days now far from violence. A place to hide from sorrow. But yesterday is now tomorrow. Desire, the tree that becomes a fire. Pathways get overgrown when you're tired of being alone. Free from your warm desire, the tree that becomes a fire. Pathways get overgrown when you're tired of being go. Summer nights with the sky aglow, fallen leaves on the ground below. Let's walk outside in the falling snow. Come with me, watch the seasons go. Summer nights with the sky aglow, fallen leaves on the ground below. Let's walk outside in the falling snow. Come with me, watch the seasons go. Summer nights with the sky aglow, fallen leaves on the ground below. Let's walk outside in the falling snow. Come with me, watch the seasons go. Summer nights with the sky aglow, fallen leaves on the ground below. Let's walk outside in the falling snow.
Teenage Fan Club live in Studio A, sounding excellent. That's from the brand new record called Nothing Lasts Forever. You were talking about Saturday Night Live and how the record label was, you know, going crazy. So you guys were on, in America, you were on Geffen, which was gigantic label, home of the Eagles, etc., I think, right?
Yeah.
So what are, tell me about the craziest, because it was sort of that time when CDs were just selling like hotcakes and they just had so much money. Yeah. So what are some examples of like the craziest excess or like the dumbest spending of your Teenage Fan Club's money?
There was a potential crazy excess, we were, when we were offered Saturday Night Live, we had a tour and I think we were meant to be playing somewhere else.
Yeah.
But there was all this kind of angst-ridden thing of like, it's going to look really bad if the band cancel a gig. And do Saturday Night Live because it might kind of affect how they appear or whatever. And I said, maybe we could get the Geffen jet and you could fly and do the show, then fly back and do Saturday Night Live, and then fly back and do the gig. But I don't think there was a great enthusiasm within the band about getting on a Learjet to do a gig. So that didn't happen.
No.
But we did still do Saturday Night Live.
I'm sorry for you. So what's the longest tour you've ever been on? What's the longest you've not slept in your own bed?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, we've been out for a few months at a time, maybe.
I don't know, 3 months?
Yes, yeah, three months.
That's a long time,
like
right?
It's a long time, yeah, definitely. But we've been out a lot quite recently. We did a big UK and European tour that was about 6 weeks. And then we've been down in Australia and Japan and New Zealand, so we've been quite active recently.
Yeah, with a few breaks, the tour's been going on for about 35 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it's amazing that you guys also have that worldwide thing going on that not every band has.
No, we've been lucky in that sense. I mean, Japan's always been, I don't know why, you just don't know why you're going to be, or you sort of resonate in a certain place, but we've always done well there, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious about when you go to a venue, like you have so much experience, what is like a really good sign and what's a really bad sign? Like you have enough experience that you're like, oh no, or oh, this is going to be good,
right,
just from walking in the door.
Well, a good sign is we were played at the 9:30 in DC last night. That's an amazing venue because you're just really well looked after there. Mm. You arrive there and they have pizza on the bar and coffee.
A good
sign. Yeah, that's a good sign. And cupcakes, which is kind of famous for. The 9:30 give you a cupcake when you get there.
A bad sign is when they say, who are you?
Yeah, that's a bad, that's
and you
a bad
are?
Sign. Or when they're pushing the barrier from the front of the stage or, you know, back towards the door, you know, to lowering the capacity. That's quite bad too, I guess. But anyway, you know, we always just deal with what we're
sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm imagining at this stage in the game, you've got some clues that are quite obvious to you.
Yeah.
As
toilets. You know, toilets are a thing, aren't they?
They certainly
the
are.
Toilets. Venues that have them, we prefer those venues than the ones that don't.
We have plenty of some that don't have them.
Venues without toilets. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's for a different show.
It was a gas tank, by the way.
It was.
Anyway, that's another story.
Okay. Tell me about being the opening act for bigger acts. Sometimes that can be a wonderful thing. Sometimes that can be a less not so wonderful.
Well, it's kind of great in the sense that you're kind of, you sound check last, and then you're on stage first, and that whole process takes about 2 hours, and your night is done, and then you can go off and get your dinner somewhere or go out in the town. But the other side of it is you have like a bunch of bored people sort of staring at you, leaning over the barrier, waiting for the bigger band.
Yeah.
But we have been lucky that we have been on a couple of really big things and been able to sort of witness kind of phenomena or whatever, because we did the European leg of Nirvana, the Nirvana Nevermind tour. And that was amazing to just watch all that blow up as the tour progressed.
I can imagine. Yeah. I went to see that show in New York and it was Shona Knife. Yeah, opening.
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
You could see that Dynamite was about to explode.
It was nuts, you know. And we also toured the US, actually, opening for Radiohead on the OK Computer tour.
Oh.
So that was a pretty good one too.
Wild, yeah.
But yeah, I guess the main thing is that you finish early, and your working day takes place over a two-hour period. It's quite good that.
Yeah, that's, I agree. Rather than
it's ideal for any worker.
Sound checking at 4:30 and then finishing at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's a long day. I'm trying to. let's talk just a... No, let's play another song right now.
Okay,
because,
sure.
Because I want to make sure we get to all the songs. What are we going to hear, Norman?
We're going to play one called Back to the Light, which is also on our latest album. So.
Lovely. Teenage Fan Club.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, one, two...
Come on, we clear the stage and break it down. We turn the key and motor out of town. It's cold tonight, we're following the satellite. I told you we were shooting for the moon.
There's Teenage Fan Club. They are playing tonight in Jersey City at White Eagle Hall, tomorrow in Brooklyn at the Music Hall of Williamsburg, and they're on tour, probably coming near you. They're sort of going all over the place. So tell me, let me also just say that it's Norman Blake, it's Raymond McGinley, Francis McDonald is nearby and lending enthusiasm because there's no drums in Studio A, and Euro Childs. Euro and you were in Johnny together, is that right?
We've made an album together. Eros also played in the band. Gorky's has made numerous solo albums.
Playing keyboards with the band now for a while.
About 5 years, I think. Yes, that's right, yes.
And did you have to shoehorn your way in, or was there a natural place to add keyboards to the thing?
Well, it was, Dave, who now plays bass, he was playing keyboards. He switched to the bass. So the keyboard stool became vacant.
Mm. Yes. Because you guys have been playing guitar together now for 35 years, right? Yeah. So I imagine there's just a very natural division of labor in that department.
So, yeah, you kind of,
Division of capo positions.
Mostly be in the capo position.
So that's the secret.
Inversions.
One guy's on the inversion capo. Interesting. And so when one of you guys writes a song, brings it into a rehearsal or sends a demo, what is the process? How do they get worked up?
We usually just, most of the time recently, we've been sitting around in the studio and it's like, I've got this idea and it kind of goes like this and we run through it and we kind of then flesh it out. Thereafter, you know,
And what, how long does that take from that, that moment to
that
press record?
That fleshing out takes 3 or 4 hours, probably, doesn't it? And then it's done. Then we'll record it, and then we do it. So we do it all. You know, it's we don't really have any rules. We, you know, myself and Raymond will come in with very basic ideas, and then everyone works together, and we just kind of arrange it. And like say, a few hours later, we'll record it.
Yeah, there aren't any Sven Gallies in the band trying to direct, tell everyone what to do. We kind of like to let things happen without. It's not like, I've got the sound in my head and you need to do that and you need to do this and you need to do that. We like, the great thing about having a band is you can just start playing and people start doing what they feel like doing. They might have thought of something different the day before or the day after, but something happens that day. And we like to let those things that happen on the day happen.
Yeah, very organic. And I think, the equation equals Teenage Fan Club always. You know, what happens in the end if you let it happen that way. So I'm curious, what led us to this musically? Like, what did you guys listen to when you were little kids that in some way, maybe even not consciously, influenced this? And then were there bands maybe in your teenage years that, like, turned a switch on?
Okay. Well, when I was really young, I liked a band called The Wombles. People here
I remember The Wombles.
But they were kind of... There was a TV show for kids, and the guy called Mike Batt wrote some great songs for them. They're really great pop songs.
I love the idea you haven't explained The Wombles to people who might not know who The Wombles are.
Remember You're a Womble.
They were very, they picked up litter on Wimbledon Common in the TV show. They weren't real.
I discovered
that they weren't real animals much later on. In fact, I believe that Chris Spedding is rumoured to have been one of the Wombles live when they played live. They were the first band that I saw. Second band that I saw, actually. The first band that I saw, and this is true, I was born in 65, and around 67, 66 maybe, my parents took me, we were on holiday in Blackpool, and they went to see Tom Jones. And a few years ago, my dad said, oh, yeah, there was a band called The Kinks opening for them. And I was like, really? And it was The Kinks. It was around about the Village Green Preservation Society period. So I saw The Kinks play those tunes. I mean, I can't remember it, right? You know, but like I was a baby on my dad's shoulders watching The Kinks.
Oh, brilliant.
And then after that was The Clash and the punk rock thing. And then we listened to, what did we listen to? Love.
Also, I think everyone in the band has always listened to a lot of different kinds of things, and it's not like we have some kind of uniformity of taste, but I think we all like lots of different kinds of things, you know, different kind of, from different musical areas or whatever. The first show I saw was Todd Rundgren at Glasgow Apollo in January 1977. I just turned 13, and that was my first experience to live music, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. You know,
you were ruined for life. Raymond, I've said this to you before off the radio. I've never seen a guitar player who plays as much in like those thick strings in the first 6 frets. Never seen a guy who does it more than you. Is that just, I don't know, you were born doing that?
It's just because I don't know what I'm doing.
No one told you.
Now, remember, I remember we were lucky enough to do a couple of things with Alex Chilton. I remember we first played with him doing some stuff, and he was looking at me playing guitar, because we did, and this is like a totally Alex Chilton kind of thing you might do, we were doing a kind of rock and roll version of the theme from Wagner's Tannhäuser.
That
Alex had the idea, like, yeah, let's do this, you know, thing from Wagner. And we were kind of doing it, but it was kind of, you know, kind of like, kind of style. You know, and he was looking at the way I was playing this thing, and he was like, wow, that fingering is insane. You know, and I was like, yeah, well, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, so, yeah, that's the key for me.
Oh, man. Well, I could talk all day, but we're running out of time, and I know everybody wants to hear you guys play actual songs.
Oh,
so
definitely.
Can you squeeze two in, you think?
I may have to tune here. That's close enough, isn't it?
Oh, my.
That's very for tuning. Okay, should we do, which one should we do then?
First,
Foreign Land. Okay, here's another. Yeah, go for that. A little bit of feedback at the top of that.
Sure.
Thank you.
One more?
Yeah, sure. Capo on two on this
room. Three. Capo Adjustment. Capo, Teenage
sorry,
Fan
Capo
Club.
We're in the, we're
tonight,
in the
Jersey City. You've played, I don't think you've played White Eagle Hall before.
No, we haven't. Yeah, no, it's the first time, so that's always exciting.
It's
to
lovely.
Play a new venue.
Yeah. Oh, great place in really New Jersey, good. The Garden State.
Yeah, you know, I know. Here
wonderful.
We are. Fantastic. Yeah.
We'll see you there tonight. I think you guys live. You have so many great songs by this, you know, 35 years in. You better, right?
Yeah, you'd hope so.
So, do you change the set list often?
We do from time to time, yeah. We try to mix up. We're definitely going to mix it up over the next couple of days because there will be people at both shows. So,
yeah,
we'll do some different things.
Okay, great idea. What are we going to hear right now?
So, we've got a song called Middle of My Mind.
All right, Middle of My Mind from Teenage Fan Club.
Touch, I dream too much. The feeling such that the world is far away. All day long, I sing along with a strange song that I hope will guide my way. I'm stuck in the middle, it's all I can find. I'm stuck in the middle of my mind. Thank you. lost in thought. My mind gets caught in a world I'm not in, until a song is brought along that will prove me wrong and make everything okay. Stuck in the middle, it's all I can find. I'm stuck in the middle, can't leave it behind. I'm stuck in the middle, it's all I can find. I'm stuck in the middle of my
Teenage Fan Club is live right here. All right, we got just a couple more seconds, a couple more minutes. There's got to be someone listening who's thinking, oh, you know, some 23-year-old person who's, oh, who is this? This is great. You know, where have you been all my life, Teenage Fan Club? Obviously, they should run out and buy on Merge Records, the new record, Nothing Lasts Forever. If you were going to tell someone just to buy another record second, what would it be, your personal recommendation? Or your personal favorite, I guess.
Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? But,
it's like your babies, I know.
Yeah.
You mean of our records?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, of our records. Oh, yeah. I thought you meant someone else's.
Oh, go buy a Lee Dorsey album.
Okay. Well, maybe, I suppose the record that we had some success with here in the US was an album called Bandwagon-esque.
Mm.
Maybe check that one out. That'd be a nice place to start it. You know, people seem to like it here. Some people liked it here.
Yeah. Mm. Raymond, no?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean...
You second that?
Yeah, well, I still have a fondness for the first album, Catholic Education, because it felt like that's the thing where we kind of invented ourselves or whatever.
Yeah, that's
true. And it felt like a kind of, you know, a simple achievement because we did it all ourselves and, you know...
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's why we've ended up here. So it's still, you know...
Fair
I
enough.
Think there's probably years when, we could have done that better. When I listened to it now, I thought, I think we did okay with that, you know?
Yeah,
fair enough. Let's talk about Don Fleming, New Jersey's own Don Fleming, producer to the stars, including Teenage Fan Club.
Yeah.
Did he blow your minds, your lives?
Do you know, so Don produced our second album, Bandwagon-esque, so we'd done the Catholic Education album. But what Don did...
Yeah, and the first thing we did with Don was we did the God Knows It's True,
yeah.
So Far Gone recordings at... Fun City in Manhattan.
With What and Tears.
In 1990.
Yeah.
So.
Hi, Rex.
But yeah, I guess Don just sort of encouraged us to just do what we felt like doing, really. You know, he said, look, you guys can all sing, so you should kind of do a bit more of that, because not many people are doing harmonies at the moment. You might want to try and do a bit of that, and people might like it.
Yeah, the fuzzbox plus harmony thing.
So Don sort of encouraged that, really, I think, you know. And yeah, we've known him all this time. In fact, he's going to be on stage with us tonight, doing a bit of throwing some shapes.
And playing guitar as well.
Yeah, I'm playing guitar as well. Yeah, should
Over the next two nights, is there anybody else who we should be on the lookout for to be guesting with you guys?
I don't know. You never know. It depends who we get chatting with tonight, really, I suppose, after the show.
Rex is available, I know, right?
Yeah. Oh, hey, Rex.
Hi, Rex.
It's tonight at White Eagle Hall in Jersey City and tomorrow at the Music Hall of Williamsburg. A new album is called Nothing Lasts Forever. Now we know the lasting influence of Don Fleming on all of us. Let's talk about New York City. First time you came here, was it what you expected?
first time we came here, I think we ended up can't remember where we ended up. I think it wasn't quite what we expected, but it didn't disappoint us because it was maybe more than we expected. The experience of being here for the first time was great. We met a lot of nice people. We're still friends just now. People have put us up, took us in at their houses and looked after us, you know.
Do you know, we played at the launch night for Matador Records. That was one of the first things that we did here. We slept on the floor at Matador. So we didn't have any hotel rooms. We slept on the floor. And then we sort of, like, you know, didn't really shower either. We just went down to the washroom, the communal washroom for the office building, and, you know, just gave ourselves a going over there.
Yeah.
And then we did eventually meet some people who put us up, who we're still friends with, the, you know, steak and eggs for breakfast. It was amazing.
That sounds great. All right, folks, Rex is next. I have loved this, one of my all-time favorite bands. What a pleasure to have you guys in here. Tonight at White Eagle Hall, I'll see you there tomorrow. Williams Music Row, you know where it is.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
This is the mighty WFMU, Stearns, WMFU, Manhope, New York City, and Rockland County, 91.9 FM, online over at WFMU.org.